We're so thankful for this day. I'm thankful for each person that's here this morning. I'm thankful, Lord, that we could celebrate the fact that you rose from the grave to conquer sin, Satan, and death. I just pray this morning, Lord, as we spend time in your word, that it's helpful for us to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in life, we need reminders. And have you ever had a situation where you had an appointment, an important meeting, somewhere to be, and you totally forgot about it? Maybe people were waiting on you and you were a no-show. It's actually a really terrible feeling. And I remember one time this happened to me, and it was over 20 years ago when I was a youth pastor. One of the students asked me to say the opening prayer at his Eagle Scout Court of Honor, which is essentially an induction ceremony for Eagle Scouts. So I was honored to accept. But evidently, I did not write it down. And if I did write it down, I did not look at the calendar because this was pre-smartphone era. So writing things in like a little planner, remember those, or on the calendar was the way that you scheduled things. And whether I wrote it down or not, I did not look. So on that Saturday morning, I was outside doing yard work, hadn't showered, hadn't shaved. I, you know, didn't really look that great and was sweaty and probably didn't smell that good either. And my flip phone rang, so I flipped it open. Hello? And it was that kid. He's like, Mike, where are you? The ceremony starts in 10 minutes. I was like, no. I felt so terrible about it. I forgot. I totally forgot. Why? Well, I had no reminder. Now, in life, we need reminders for things that we commit to, obviously, but we also need reminders in life for things that are important for us to do. Now, on this Easter Sunday morning, what I want to do is I want to look at a group of disciples that were reminded after Jesus' resurrection what they should be doing until they pass from this earth or Jesus returns. So these disciples were reminded what they should be doing until they pass from this earth or Jesus returns. Now, that reminder came with a very distinct object lesson for them. And it started actually when they first met Jesus, their first encounter with Jesus. So we're going to start with the account in Luke chapter 5, in which many people were gathering to hear Jesus teach. He was on the shore of Lake Gennesaret, and the crowd was so large it was pushing in, so he was right on the shore. So he saw some fishermen with some boats. There was two boats, actually. And one of those boats had Simon Peter in it. So he said, hey, can I get out on your boat? Can you bring me out on your boat so I could teach? So if you can imagine the scene, a packed shore of people, Jesus just some yards out on a boat teaching. Some say the teaching there actually was really good because it echoed right off that lake and all the people could hear. So as Peter was sitting in the boat with Jesus and all these people were listening to Jesus teach, after Jesus was done teaching, he said to Peter, hey, Peter, throw out your net. Peter said at this point, you know, we've been fishing all night and we've caught nothing. But since you said for me to throw out my net, I'm going to throw out my net. So Peter throws out his net, and minutes later, the nets were filled with fish, so much so that Peter had to call the other boat back out to help because this huge haul of fish, the nets were breaking to bring this in. So here's what happens. It says, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken in. Now, Peter was so taken back that he realized he was in the presence of either God or someone from God. So he fell at Jesus' feet and basically said, I'm not worthy to be near someone like you. I mean, remember, this is his first encounter with Jesus. I'm not worthy to be around someone like you. Everyone else was astonished at this big catch of fish. I mean, this was a big deal, because these guys were fishermen and this was their job. So, you know, they weren't like recreational fishermen like some of you, like, I'm going to go out and hang out on the beach for a couple hours. These guys were making a living doing this. So it says this. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. So Jesus first tells them, Do not be afraid. Remember, in our study in Hebrews, especially Hebrews chapter 11, fear is the enemy of faith. Okay, so he's saying, don't be afraid, have faith. Jesus is essentially saying, have faith. Then he gives them, or Peter, a mission. You will be catching men, or you will be fishers of men. Jesus was calling them to come and follow him and tell others about the kingdom of God. That was their mission. They first met Jesus. Jesus said, come follow me, and you're going to be telling people about the kingdom of God. So it says this. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. Now, this is where it gets real, right? This is where it gets real for these guys. They left everything and followed Jesus. Now, think about that for a second. They left everything. After this huge catch of fish, for these guys, this was tons of money, maybe even weeks or months worth of work and income. And Jesus said, let's go. And they left everything. This would be equivalent to somebody coming up to you today after church saying, here's some lottery numbers. Go play these numbers and you will win. So you go and you're like, a couple bucks. So you put it down and you play the numbers and you win. And then that guy comes to you and says, now leave everything and follow me. And you just leave the cash behind and follow him. Now, the answer, why would you do that? Or the question would be, why would you do that? And I'll tell you why you would do that. And I'll tell you why Peter and the other disciples did what they did. Because they were probably thinking, wow, there must be more where this came from. Okay? This guy is something special. So this catch of fish, this, you know, weeks or months of income, this is nothing compared to what I'm going to experience following after him. So they dropped everything and followed after him. So they followed Jesus for 3.5 years. They traveled around with him. They listened to him teach. They saw people being healed by him. They had their needs met. They saw him challenge the religious leaders. They witnessed miracles. Most importantly, they heard Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God, telling people that he was the way, the truth, and the life. Telling people, like John 11:35 says, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. You know, Jesus, he was arrested. He was crucified because of his claim that he was God in the flesh. Many thought he was a rebel. Many thought he was a crazy person. And the truth is, that reputation could have stuck, but it actually didn't stick. Do you want to know why? It's what we celebrate today, the resurrection. See, when they were putting Jesus to death, they thought he was a crazy person. They thought he was a religious rebel. They thought all these things about him, but then they put him to death. But then he rose from the grave, and when Jesus rose from the grave, he was proving that he is, in fact, God. It proves the fact that he was who he said he was, and he did what he said he was going to do, which was die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. When he rose from the grave, Jesus tells us, believe in him. Trust him for salvation. So the beautiful gospel message is, we are sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus is that Savior. He died on the cross and rose again 3 days later to prove that he is God. And all who believe will have eternal life. That's what this is all about. That's what Easter is all about. That's what Resurrection Sunday is all about. Because now we have the full and complete way of salvation through Jesus. So now the question is, what happened to those fishermen? Jesus now rose from the grave. He was cited by many. About a week after Jesus rose from the grave, he was seen by many. These same disciples actually went fishing. Why, you might ask? Well, to make money, of course. I mean, think about it. For 3.5 years, they were following Jesus around. Jesus was making sure all their needs were met. Anybody want to sign up for that? You got your job right now and you could leave it and follow Jesus around and all your needs are going to be met. Anybody want to do that? Yeah, a lot of you are. But now, reality check. Jesus died, rose from the grave. Before he ascended into heaven, these men kind of had to go back to work, back to everyday life. Or was it everyday life? Or in other words, should it have been everyday life? So we pick up in John chapter 21. Simon Peter said to 6 of the disciples, "I'm going fishing." They all decided to join him and get back to work. At that point, they had already seen Jesus. They know he was resurrected. But no one was following Jesus around because Jesus didn't commission them to follow him around at that point. Follow him, yes, but follow him around like they did before, no. So they were all fishing. They were fishing all night. Didn't catch anything. Just as it was getting light, just as the morning was coming, they saw somebody standing on the shore and yelled, "Did you catch anything?" Now, any of you that fish, you love that question, don't you? Did you catch anything? This guy, right? They answered, "No." The person yelled, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat." They did. Minutes later, their nets were filled with fish. At this point, John said to Peter, "It's Jesus. It's Jesus. The last time this happened, it was Jesus. It's Jesus. That's him." They're reminded what happened the first time they met Jesus. So here's what happens. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat and dragged the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. When Peter and the other disciples, when Peter heard this, he was so excited, he dove in, swam to shore because it was Jesus. So when they all got to shore, this is pretty interesting, they gave Jesus some fish. You know what Jesus did? He made them breakfast. He was like, "Come on, guys, let's eat some breakfast together." You can read it in John 21. You know, for these disciples, fishing became a reminder of two very important things. The first is they should follow Jesus. And the second is they should tell others about him. So when they went fishing, when they went to do their job, now they were reminded, "Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be following Jesus. I'm supposed to be telling other people about him." For some of these men, especially Peter, this is where it all began 3.5 years prior. Jesus said, "Follow me and you will be fishers of men." You know, even though Jesus would soon ascend into heaven and not physically be with them, they still needed to tell others about him and follow him. Now, this brings us to today. What reminders do you have in your life when it comes to telling others about Jesus and when it comes to following Jesus? So let's start with telling others about Jesus. You know, sometimes we forget to do that. Do you realize that you're all called to do that? It's just not like, okay, get my friends to come to church and Pastor Mike's going to tell people about Jesus. No, you're actually called to tell people about Jesus. You're called to be a light to this world. So I want to teach you a good way to remember how to tell others about Jesus. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to think about this question. How did you come to trust Jesus? How did you come to trust Jesus? Oftentimes, the way that we trust in Jesus is a reminder that many others in similar situations may be open to trusting in Jesus. So for example, maybe you trusted in Jesus because of a difficult circumstance. You had a difficult situation in your life, and through that difficult situation, you wound up trusting in Jesus. You know what? Maybe that could be a reminder for you to reach out to someone going through a similar struggle. So you have friends, family members, people at work, people that you know going through a similar struggle. Maybe this is your chance to say, "Hey, you know what? When I was going through that, this is what helped me." When I was going through that, this is how I got through it. I want to tell you about who Christ is. I want to tell you about what he has done for me. Maybe you were brought up in church environment and you trusted Jesus through Sunday school, through children's ministries, through youth ministries. Maybe you were blessed by something like what we have going on here at the church. This could be a reminder for you to get involved in one of these ministries. This could be a reminder for you to say, hey, you know what? I want to have the same impact on a kid that other people had on me. I want to tell other people, tell other children about what the Lord has done. Do you realize this? If we don't have volunteers to do those things, which we do and we're so blessed with, if we don't have volunteers to do those things, that child might not have the same opportunity that you had and that actually led you to the Lord. Maybe you had someone in your Christian, in your life that was a great Christian testimony. Maybe the person that led you to the Lord was just a great Christian testimony. They weren't overbearing. They weren't preachy. They lived out their faith and spoke when it was necessary. This can be a reminder to you, work on your Christian testimony. Do you want to be that guy or that gal in somebody else's life where they say, you know what? Yeah, that's the type of person that I would like to look to as an example. You can be a Christian testimony to your friends at school, your family members, your friends, your coworkers. The example of Christ is what you can set for them so that others trust in Jesus. Maybe you connected with a Christian over a shared interest like a hobby or a sport, and through that you trusted in Christ. You know, a reminder for you can be, you know, when you're doing that hobby or sport, God placed you with those people that need to hear about Jesus, and that's why you're there. Many of you know I really enjoy surfing. Spend some time doing it. Well, basically, when I go out there and I'm around other people, this is my opportunity to meet and tell other people. Actually, one of the spots I go to, there's a couple of kids there. They never even came to church. They're like, hey, Pastor Mike, what's up, Pastor Mike? I'm like, wow, that's funny. They call me Pastor Mike. They've never come to my church. So maybe that's a constant reminder. Maybe you have a hobby or a sport or something that you're involved in that you actually can connect with people to tell them about the Lord. Maybe you were raised by Christian parents that realized the importance of teaching you about the Lord and making sure you were involved in church and activities. And through your parents, you trusted in Jesus. Maybe now you're the parent. You're the parent. A reminder to you is realizing you can be the most effective person to reach your child to trust in Christ. You know, as a parent, I want to speak to you, especially young parents. We're kind of past that in our life. But as a parent, there's many great activities that you can get your kids involved in. There's sports and different activities that you can get. And you know what? A lot of those things want you to sign over and give them your kid, right? You're doing that all the time. Nothing is more important than your child's spiritual development. Say that again. Nothing is more important than your child's spiritual development. Now, let's look at reminders you can set up in your life to follow Jesus. We talked about telling others about Jesus. What are some reminders that you can set up in your life to actually follow Jesus? Now, one of the biggest reminders we have is his word. Are you reading his word? Are you listening to his word? This is so important. We have a whole link on our website, all the different resources that you can get involved in. Most of them are on your smartphone. You can get involved in and actually get into God's word every single day. This is a drum I've been banging for decades, and most of you that have been here for decades know that. Get into God's word. You are reminded daily about following him. Whatever you're going through, whether it's good or bad, whatever you need to hear, God has his word for you. Another reminder that you could set up is your time in prayer. We have the privilege of talking to God every day. We should never look, I gotta pray. We should look at it as like, I get to pray. Let me ask you a question. Can you have a solid relationship with someone if you never communicate with them? No. Eventually, you'll become very distant. Ultimately, so much time will pass, many things will happen in your life and in their life, that it's like you don't even really know one another anymore. Some of you experience this, right? When you go to like a class reunion, somebody that you were tight with, but then you never kept in touch with. Maybe there wasn't social media then. You didn't keep in touch with them. And then you see them 20 or 30 years later, and they have a whole life that you know nothing about. It's like you don't even know them. They're a whole different person. Not bad. Just you don't know them. Prayer is a way we communicate with God. Between prayer and reading his word, we have two-way communication, which serves as reminders to continue to follow. Finally, I'm glad you're here today, because worship on Sunday is a weekly reminder to follow Jesus. Do you know in the first church service was instituted technically? Today. When Jesus rose from the grave. Because before Jesus rose from the grave on the Sunday, the religious people were worshiping on Saturday. All of a sudden, now all these believers are worshiping on a Sunday. We come together to fellowship with one another. Fellowship is so important, getting to know other Christians, because other Christians are a reminder of what we should be doing, following Jesus. You know, we're surrounded with people all the time, right? At work, at school, friends, family. You're surrounded. You're going to probably have dinner or lunch today with some people that aren't believers. And, you know, and they're going to remind you of things. They're going to remind you of politics. They're going to remind you of things you don't care about. They're going to remind you. And, you know, when you're driving there, you know the conversations. Oh, this one's going to say this. This one's going to say that. Then I got to try. You know what I mean? Trust me, you know what those conversations are going to be like. And then on the way home, you're going to be like to your wife or your husband, I told you, you know, and that's, they're going to be a reminder of whatever they like to talk about. But when you come to church on Sundays is a reminder, oh yeah, there's other people like me that actually desire to follow God, that actually care what God thinks. We come here on Sunday mornings to sing praises to his name. God has blessed us with so many amazing musicians to help us do that. I'm so thankful for them and for the fact that we can do that together. There's nothing like standing in a room of people singing praises to the Lord. We come here on Sundays to give the work of the Lord and the ministry. I mean, the truth of the matter is this church has always been so generous. You all know that. And the giving that you give to the work of the ministry helps us to be a light to the community and helps us to follow God in a greater way. Not only that, we give even more to outside ministries, missionaries that we support all around the world. We come here on Sundays to serve, right? Many people serve. There's a lot of kids downstairs, right? You parents are like, amen. Yeah, there's a lot of kids downstairs. I get a break, okay? I'm going to try not to be late picking them up, but yeah. We have volunteers doing all those things, which is so important. It's an important reminder they're doing that because they want your kids to follow the Lord. They want you to follow the Lord, and they want to help you in that. So we serve. We come here on Sundays to be challenged from God's word. Right? My commitment to you, and you know this, my commitment to you is it's always anchored in the word. If I ever sway from that, you all have my permission to get rid of me. Because this is what hearing God's word is what we come for. What we come, not the only thing, but this is what we need to be challenged with, what God's word has to say. And we come here on Sundays to observe communion. You know what communion is? A reminder, right? A reminder. It's a reminder for us as believers what Jesus has done. You know, our weeks can get hectic. Things can happen. And we kind of forget, oh yeah, Jesus died for me. It's by his grace that I am saved. It's not by my works. Jesus died for me. So for us as believers, we observe communion as a reminder that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. But it's also a reminder for us as believers, if you're a believer in Christ, it's a reminder to follow him, to evaluate your own life. Am I following him? Where am I saying no to him and yes to something else? And if that's the case, you need to say, Lord, I need the strength to say yes to you and no to that. You can only do it in his strength. And communion is the time to actually ask him. Ask him for victory. Ask him to help you in those situations. And be reminded that he desires you to follow him. So I'm going to give you a few moments just in quiet, and then we'll partake together.